Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Melcor REIT First Quarter 2016 conference call. I would like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Jonathan Chia, Chief Financial Officer of Melcor REIT. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, John. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our conference call and webcast for the first quarter of 2016. On the call with me this morning is Darren Rayburn, Chief Executive Officer of the Melcor REIT. If you've not yet reviewed the materials related to this call, including management's discussion analysis and the financial statements, they are available on the Investor Relations section of our website at melcorreit.ca and on sedar.com. Our goal is to keep our remarks to a brief, high-level review of the year and the quarter, and then open up the call for your questions. Before turning it off over to Darren to discuss our results, I have a few mandatory statements to make. First, certain statements made during this call may be forward-looking. For a complete discussion of items that may cause actual results to differ, please refer to the business environment and risk section of our annual management discussion analysis. Second, we report our financial results in Canadian dollars and in accordance with international financial reporting standards. We supplement our financial reporting with non-standard measures, including funds from operations, adjusted funds from operations, and net operating income. We believe these measures are important in evaluating our performance, but caution listeners that they may not be comparable to similar measures presented by other companies. These non-standard measures are defined and reconciled in our management discussion analysis. I'll now walk everyone through some of the financial highlights of our results for the quarter ended March 31st, 2016. Our portfolio's performance continued to be stable, with growth of 2% for rental income and 4% for net operating income compared to the first quarter of 2015. The increase resulting from acquisitions completed in Q4 of 2015, as well as densification activity that we completed last year. Our operating margin in Q1 2015 stayed consistent at 61%. FFO and AFFO increased by 6% compared to the first quarter of 2015. Per unit amounts also grew by 8% for FFO and 5% for AFFO. Our payout ratio continues to trend downward at 80% at the end of Q1, a strong indicator of the stability of our distribution. We continue to capitalize on opportunities to finance our properties and to create liquidity in our balance sheet and reduced our weighted average interest rate by 22 basis points over last year as a result of mortgage refinancing at lower rates. From a balance sheet perspective, we continue to be well-positioned to take advantage of opportunities as they arise. I will now turn the call over to Darren, who will speak about our portfolio's operations and performance.
Thank you, John. Congratulations to our Melcor REIT team for a solid quarter and a stable start to 2016 despite the negative economic sentiment in the markets we operate in. Our stable results for the first quarter demonstrate the sustainability of our model and the strength and resiliency of our portfolio. One thing is certain in these turbulent times of market volatility and uncertainty is that nothing speaks louder than performance. We continue to execute on our business plan. The strength of our portfolio is in our people and the relationships they build with our clients, our commitment to providing unrivaled customer care, and our history with our assets and within our markets. We know and understand our assets, our clients, and the nuances of the markets where we operate. The severe impact of the sharp oil decline was anticipated to have on operations of Western Canadian-based real estate companies has not happened at the Melcor REIT. This is largely due to the stability and diversity of our portfolio with respect to both tenant profile and asset class, and holds us in a strong position to manage through economic cycles. We successfully leased just over 30,000 square feet of new and expiring space by March 31st this year, resulting in a quarter-end portfolio occupancy of 93.9%. Densification of existing properties to create additional value is another growth enhancement strategy we continue to execute on in 2016. We substantially completed construction on a new commercial retailing unit in a regional shopping center, which will increase the gross leasable area by just over 7,800 square feet, with rent commencing in May 2016. And we continue to look for densification opportunities across our portfolio. Our continued stable results in the current economic conditions are a direct outcome of our strategy of building a diversified portfolio of quality assets strengthened by past acquisitions and our focus on the fundamentals of our business, being looking after our tenants, executing on our leasing strategy, improving operating efficiency, and investing in our assets. Our pedigree in the 93 years of Melcor Development's history, culture, and experience with changing economic and political landscapes makes up an important part of who the Melcor REIT is and why we are unique. Today, there are many positive factors that will continue to shape our growth and our future. We believe the continued focus on real estate fundamentals will result in a maximum return for our unit holders over time. In January, February, March of 2016, we made distributions of 5.6 cents per trust unit for a payout ratio of 80%. This 80% payout ratio is a critical factor not to be overlooked. At 80%, our ratio is a strong indicator of our overall health and our ability to sustain distributions to our unit holders at current rates. With a strong and diversified portfolio, our focus on property management client relationships, our strong balance sheet, solid governance by our mainly independent board of trustees, and the right of first offer to purchase from a solid pipeline of assets being developed by Melcor Developments over the next 5 to 15 years, the Melcor REIT remains well positioned for the future. 2016 will not be without its challenges, but we'll keep moving forward with a business-as-usual mindset while being mindful of current economic challenges. We are committed to prudent financial stewardship to ensure maximum value to our unit holders. At the end of the day, nothing speaks louder than performance. The Melcor REIT will continue to perform for our unit holders. Frankly, this type of market volatility we're experiencing is not new to us. These headwinds are not foreign to us, and in fact, as Albertans, this volatility is something we've come to expect. It's part of doing business in Alberta, and it's part of our DNA. It's how Melcor Developments has successfully built a company and prospered for 93 years. This experience will shape how the Melcor REIT will continue to perform for our unit holders. We'd now be happy to take your questions. John, can you please open up the phone line?
Thank you, sir. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing star 1, and you may cancel your question by pressing the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause allowing you to register. Our first question is from Dean Wilkinson of CIBC. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning, guys.
Morning, Dean.
Just a few quick ones for me. On the leasing in the quarter, the retention slipping to 29%, that was largely attributed to one tenant, right?
Correct.
How much space or was that?
Dean, it was only 19,000 square feet in
okay.
Regina. And again, because we didn't have a large renewal component in the first quarter, the numbers skewed low.
Exactly.
Right. Expect to make that up.
Okay. And when did that happen?
The end of the quarter, March 31st, as a matter of fact.
Okay. So it's March. So basically that's offset by the Spruce Grove space that you're filling more or less.
Correct, a portion
and,
of it.
And on that Spruce Grove space, what's the rent there?
The rent is, and Dean, I'll let you do the quick per square foot amount, because it's about $185,000 a year on 7,800 square feet.
185, that's a gross or a net?
That's a gross amount.
That's the gross.
It's a land lease.
Oh, okay.
So that's the amount that comes to us.
Perfect, got it. and then just on the true up of the recoveries, was that just a carryover? Like, was the Q4 recovery estimates just a little on the hot side, which sort of may have skewed the margin, and this is kind of just bringing that back into line?
Correct.
Do you have a sense of how much that was, John?
I'll get back to you on that. It wasn't significant. Do you
Not
know
significant?
It yeah, it just created a bit of the variance. That's why we talk about it, but... it shouldn't skew your models at all.
So, but it would be like sort of a less than 1% margin impact.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just average out over the two quarters.
Yeah, and I'll get back to you if it's different than that.
Okay. And then just the last is perhaps I'm reading this wrong. In the MD&A, you talked about, so you take another $3.9 million fair value adjustment on the Northern Alberta assets, sort of after 8 and change in 2015. I think I'm reading that the fair value losses were driven by pressure on the Edmonton office capitalization rates decreasing 25 basis points. Should that read increasing?
It should read increasing.
Increase, okay. And was that as a result of appraisals done on those assets, or that's just what you're sort of seeing in the market?
No, it's part of appraisals. Our buildings are reviewed quarterly by a third-party appraiser, Altus Group. And so through that review process, they do a market test on each of our assets every quarter. And so we'll adjust our valuations as such.
It's generally we're not talking huge adjustments on a building-by-building basis, and so it tends to be more of an aggregate amount than anything else.
Yeah, okay. So there were no specific hits to a asset overall?
No, there'd be like 25 basis point increases on certain buildings and then NOI adjustments. On other buildings, and kind of when they add them all together, it comes to 3.9 seems like a fairly large number, but on our entire asset base, it's not that big of an impact.
Yep. Okay, that's great. That's all I had. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your questions, Dean.
Thank you. The next question is from Mike Marcanis of Desjardins. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Mike.
Just trying more of a high-level question, just listening to your commentary. I didn't count, but stable certainly seems to be one of the key words that you used in your opening comments. And then you were also talking about the challenging economic environment, which I'm sure we're all aware of what the macro factors are impacting Alberta currently. But then I see your occupancy is slowly ticking higher. So I'm just wondering if we can kind of reconcile your very cautious comments with the occupancy trend and tie that back to what you're expecting in terms of a growth rate going forward for the next 12 to 18 months.
Sure, Mike. Thanks for the questions, Darren. There's no secret about all the negative information that's being spread about Alberta, and the Alberta brush is being painted between Edmonton and Calgary. I can tell you right now, downtown Edmonton is not downtown Calgary. So I use the word stable very often, more to offset some of the negative sentiment when people are wondering what's happening. So specifically to answer your question, you know, in downtown Edmonton, we only have four assets. And when we talk about the stability of our assets, those are assets that, you know, the REIT has owned since conception and Melcor Development has owned for a number of years. So while we have some movements and some tenancies, if you look at our expiry reports in the entire portfolio, it's very small, and it's even smaller for Edmonton. So I'm not sure if I've answered your question, Mike, but the general sentiment I'd like everyone on this call to understand is that when you look at the Edmonton market in general, there is a wave of vacancy coming over the next 3 years. There's no secret about the new office towers. You know, in the meantime, we're a small tenant market. We don't have the 800,000 square foot subleases you're hearing about in Calgary. And in fact, in downtown Edmonton, the sublease market's about less than 2%. So there aren't these massive swings yet. And we're seeing rental rates holding where they've been. What has changed in the Edmonton office market is our tenant inducements have gone up. It is costing landlords more to do new deals and to renew tenants. If you take out the office component from Edmonton and you look at the retail, our retail properties are very strong. And in fact, our weighted average base rents have increased, which you'll see in the MD&A. So, Mike, does that give you some of the sentiment that you were looking for?
Yeah, I think so. Thanks. That's helpful. And then just taking it a step further, when we talk about the very small tenant size or the average tenant being small in your portfolio and there's a wave of space coming, I guess the space isn't coming for a while, but you're saying the TIs are going up. So is that more of a function of tenants just having an increased leverage by threatening to go shorter or want to leave, or is it more indicative of a slowdown in demand? Like, I'm just trying to reconcile the looming supply versus you know, sort of underlying demand versus tenants maybe just levering their position a little bit better.
You know, yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, it's not like it was in 2014. So while demand may be down slightly, it's not down significantly. We're still, you know, doing deals and doing tours. I can tell you it is definitely the market pricing in the incoming glut of space. So tenants are in a situation where they can go to landlords, especially landlords who have buildings that are facing some of these large vacancies, tenants that are moving out of their buildings, moving into the new office towers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit of a game right now to see which landlord will, you know, show their cards first. And, you know, we've seen some $50, $60, $70 per square foot TIs on five-year deals coming on the market that we have not seen in this market in a while. So it's definitely a tenant market using their leverage to see where they can get landlords to commit.
Okay. And as this continues to happen, what's your position? I mean, are you willing just to stay the course and keep upping your TI's incentives in line with market?
The nice thing about being just under 94% occupied, are not in that basket of landlords who are panicking about occupancy. So it really depends on the strength of the covenant of the tenant. I'm not suggesting we'll never do a deal at that, because never say never, but it gives us the opportunity to be selective and choosy, you know, and look at the specific space they're talking about. You know, there's some space that's old and needs the refurbishment. There's other vacant space that we have and someone can move right in. So, again, really depends on the tenant, but we're going to stay the course and maintain our occupancy.
Okay, and it does look to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that you guys actually did reflect this event through a slightly higher reserve calculation in your AFFO metric. Is that right?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, fair enough. So just moving on to and I missed your commentary, and I apologize if it's specifically outlined in the MD&A, but the densification opportunities that you spoke of. What would sort of the near-term, i.e. next 1 to 2 year, opportunity set there be in terms of potential incremental GLA, and just trying to get a sense of the amount of capital required to have that executed?
On the existing portfolio, it wouldn't be material. Might be a small amount. Like, for instance, the two densification opportunities we talked about, the one we finished in our Chestermere property that in 2015 was under 8,000 square feet. The one I talked about in this call in our West Grove property in Spruce Grove was under 8,000 square feet. So, again, it would not be material, at least in the near term.
Okay. That's it for me. Thanks. I'll turn it back.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Nelson Ma of Laurentian Bank. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. I kind of want to ask about, I understand, can you add more detail just about the MRD, the G&A adjustment on management fees? Like, what was that about?
Nelson, the asset management fee?
Yeah.
Well, we added two properties at the end of 2015 in Chestermere and at Telford. And so the increased fee just reflects the increased gross book value of our properties.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't an agreement change then. Okay.
No, it wasn't a change.
Okay. And I mean, you covered this, but I was wondering, you know, for retail strip development in northern and southern Alberta, like, has the underwriting changed at all or the modeling of it?
It is not. If you're looking from a development perspective, Nelson?
Yeah.
We're still seeing demand. We're still seeing activity. We're seeing rents holding their own on retail. Now, when you look at your underwriting, if you look at your construction costs, we do expect to see some reduction in construction costs. Frankly, it's not material.
Okay, got it. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Nelson.
Thank you. Once again, if you have a question, please press *1 at this time. The next question is from Michael Smith of RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning.
Hi, Michael.
Just on the retail rent, so just to make sure I understand clearly, retail rental rates are holding up well, even on a net effective basis?
Correct. Yeah, for retail. Again,
for retail.
It's the office, and specifically the Edmonton downtown office, that's not holding up on a net effective basis.
Okay. And what about suburban, like business park, that kind of stuff?
In our experience with our assets, because our suburban parks are virtually full, we're seeing our rates holding up. There are a number of recently built assets outside of our portfolio with some of our competitors that have some vacancies that we have heard anecdotally that some of our competitors are prepared to increase some of the TIs in suburbs. But just to be clear, Michael, we have not had the need to do that in our portfolio.
Okay, good. And What's your thinking or what's your expectations about fair value marks, either up or down? You had a small mark up in, I guess, southern Alberta, steady cap rates and a little bit higher income, and then you had, of course, your write down in basically Edmonton office. What do you think, what's your sense going forward?
Michael, it's Darren, and again, this is just my opinion. So, again, there's so much negativity coming about the market, it's very difficult for appraisers to justify a decreasing cap rate. However, if you look at what's happening with retail, even in Calgary, retail cap rates in Calgary are going down. There's demand for grocery-anchored retail. So to answer your question, depending on the asset class and depending on the market, in the Edmonton office market, I think it'd be very difficult for an appraiser not to build in some sort of increased cap rate just based on this glut of vacant space that's coming. And also, there was finally a trade in our downtown area, building on 105th Street here, that traded at what we feel is about an 8% cap. So I think that generated a lot of the increases in downtown office cap rates. Beyond that, my feel going forward, I think if the suburban market stays strong, it's going to be difficult to see increasing cap rates for suburban office. And again, across the board in Edmonton or in Calgary, or for that matter, in Regina or Kelowna, where we have some properties, I see retail being strong. And as long as there's activity in office, I think that they may be maintaining their cap rates.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the question.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I'd like to bring you back over to Mr. Darren Rayburn. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, John, and thank you, everyone, for calling in today. You know, before we go, I thought it's important to talk about the events going on in Fort McMurray. You know, our thoughts go out to those evacuated residents in Fort McMurray, plus the 11 surrounding communities. These people face a weekend away from their homes, wondering if there's anything to go back to. I can tell you, at Edmonton, we've received somewhere between 18 and 23,000 people, and we see them on the streets. It's absolutely unbelievable. But I also want to shout out to the responders and those responsible for the countless acts of kindness and selflessness. And I'm not sure how much of this is linked up in media, but people like WestJet, who took added 11 flights to fly people out of Fort McMurray and their dogs and their suitcases, in many cases for no charge. For Labatt's Brewery, who shut down their brewery from stopping beer and did, John, I believe, up to 200,000 bottles of water for the responders. You know, it's the people on neighborhoods like mine and John who are welcoming evacuees into their home. I guess it's tragic situations like this where you really see true human spirit. So I'd just like everyone to think about that. Enjoy your weekends. Enjoy your homes. Things will recover in Fort McMurray, get back to normal. And we really appreciate everyone calling in today and for your interest in the Melcor REIT. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. The conference call has now ended. Please disconnect your line at this time, and we thank you for your participation.